We're beginning here on the top of Kaf Amud Aleph, three lines down. The Gemara spoke about the position of Bnei Rabbi Chiya. Bnei Rabbi Chiya said that the mitzvah of Malika is machzirat simanim me'achorei oref, to move the simanim behind the oref. The obvious advantage of doing something like that is that you don't go through the spinal cord before you shech the simanim, which would then not render the animal a treifa before you were able to cut the simanim. That's the advantage of that. According to many of the Rishonim, like the Ritva, although Rashi over here adds that the real advantage is the Kotecha Simanim Levadan, that then you only have to cut the Simanim, and you don't have to cut the Mafreket at all. You don't have to cut the spinal column, and that is the big advantage of doing it in this manner. The Gemara wanted to know whether that was the only way you could do it, because you had to make sure that it wasn't the Treifa before you cut through those Simanim, or was that an option for you? Still the right way, or maybe even the best way to do it is to go straight through. That's what the Torah permits. But if you happen to move the Simanim around, that would also work. So the Gemara says that they feel that it should be af machzir, that it's not the only way to do it, rather that it is the option that you have to do such a thing. And they try to prove it from our Mishnah, because in our Mishnah, it compares the case of Shechita to Melika. Anywhere Shechita's Kshera, Melika's Psula. Anywhere Melika's Psula, Shechita's Kshera. So here it says that in the case of Melika, that it is Kasher, that's when it's in the Oref, on the back of the neck. And for Shechita, it's Psula. So now, if you wanted to explain that the only way to do it was to move the Simanim around the back, that would imply that in a case where you did it for Melika, it would be Kasher. For Shechita, it would be Psula. And that's just not true. Shechita, with the Simanim pulled around the back, is okay. And because of that, the Gemara says it can't be that it's the only way to do it, but rather it must be an option to do it. And therefore, the main way to do Malika is to cut through the back spinal cord, through the bone, and then through the simanim. And then by shechita, that would be psula, because you would render the animal treifa before you got to the simanim. So that was what we left off with. And the Gemara now says, Amar Rabbi Yana yikablu harubim et tshuvatam. So now the rubim means, Rashi says, hane'arim, the youngsters, a reference to Bnei Rabbi Chiya. It was also mentioned, if you remember, in the Tosafot back on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, Tosafot said with regards to a Yerushalmi that he quotes over there, it says, Shebo Rubim Ubitlum, that the youngsters came and eliminated them. That's with regards to Trumot and Masrot and Chutz La'aretz. The Tosafot quotes a similar language over there from the Yerushalmi of Rubin. Here it's the Kablu Rubim at Shuvatam, Tiktani, because the Mishnah continues on. This is a classic Bavli style question, which is that the Mishnah gave you a whole series of cases where Shera for Shechita, Psula for Melika, and vice versa. And then at the end of the Mishnah, it gives you a klal. Sometimes at the beginning of the Mishnah, but here at the end of the Mishnah, it gives you a klal and says, whatever's by Shechita is Shera, Melika is Psula. The Bavli wants to know, what did the Mishnah add? The truth is, the Mishnah is just giving you the principle, and that might be enough, but in the Bavli, the Gemara assumes that if it adds something like that at the end of the Mishnah, it's trying to tell you about a case it did not address in the Mishnah itself. It's not just a summary of the Mishnah, but it's giving you additional information. That's what the Gemara says here as well, which is, Nimsa kasher b'shechita pasul b'melika. That which is kasher b'shechita is not going to work by melika. Kasher b'melika. That which is kasher by melika, pasul b'shechita, won't work by shechita. Le'me'ute mai. What case does that come to exclude? Lav le'me'ute magzir simonim acharei ha'oref delo. Isn't it coming to tell you that the case of Magzirim Simanim Nachayorv doesn't work?
Because it's Kasher Bishchita and Pasul by Melika, conforming to what the Mishnah lays out in that principle at the end. And that's what it came to add, to tell you that Melika in that instance doesn't work.
And then that would undermine what the Bnei Rabbi Chiya said, that Magzir Simanim does work. Amar Rabbi Barchana, well, that doesn't have to be the case. The Mute Shein Bitziporin comes to exclude the use of a tooth and the use of a nail.
That even though by Shechita, if they are attached to Mechubar Le'adam or Mechubar to the ground, that they are problematic for Shechita, the Gabei Melika, they would be the way to do it, as we know that the nail of the Kohen is exactly how you do the Melika. And that'd be the purpose of this principle that's laid out in the Mishnah.
Where it says, Shein Bitziporin, Behejia Ketani Lahu. Why do you need this to be summarized at the end of a Mishnah in some implicit manner when it's explicit in the Mishnayot with regards to Shein and Tziporin? Rashi says over here, the Mishnah before it says, Chutz Magal Katzir, Vamegira, Vashinaim, Vatziporin. We had all those that were excluded in the previous Mishnah. You don't need a Mishnah over here to tell us that they don't work. Vuhukminan, Vimichuberet. And we explained over there that the problem was that they were attached. Now, Rashi brings an alternative view over here, The Miresha Mimayet, Shein Tlusha, Vitziporen Tlusha, the Kasher B'Shechita, Upasul B'Melika. Rashi says maybe what the Gemara is saying over here is not about the Mechubar, but rather about a Tlusha. The question is, what is the Gemara after here with Shein and Tziporen? There are two options. There's one form of Shein and Tziporen which are problematic, and that's when they are Mechubarim. There is a form of Shein and Tziporen that are okay when they are detached. So which one is the Gemara referencing to, and what was it trying to get from the Mishnah? Rashi assumes that what they were trying to get from the Mishnah was the Mechubar. That which is attached is Pasul, and that's explicit in the Mishnah, that Shein and Tziporen don't work. He says there were others who were noted to say that it wasn't about that, but rather it was about the fact that when it was detached, it does work. And Rashi says, Velohi. Rashi rejects this view within the Rishonim, Timkein, Lama Huskar Shein V'Tziporen. Why does it mention Shein V'Tziporen at all? Lema Hachi, Lema Utei Talush. Why don't you generically then say that it comes to exclude anything that's Talush, De Pasul B'Melika. That would be a problem by Melika. The name of Kasher B'Shechita Pasul B'Melika. Just saying that it's Kasher B'Shechita Pasul B'Melika. Ela, Talush, Lav Miltahi.
That's just not the case.
Daha, Vitalush, Lo Mikre Melika. That's the first thing that Rashi says is, so you can have something where you do, say for instance, Shechita, and it's a Shechita Psula. So that's one concept, which is that you have a Shechita, but you did the Shechita improperly. There are certain things you do that you can't even call it Shechita anymore. Rashi says, by Melika, that's the truth as well. If you do Melika with something that's detached, for instance, a tooth, or a Tziporen that's detached, you're not speaking about Melika done improperly. You're speaking of something that's not called Melika anymore. Because the whole point of Melika, and he quotes the Psukim here, we learned this together in the Gemara in Zvachim, which is that the thumb of the Kohen, it has to be the physical body of the Kohen that does the actual Melika. It can't be some detached item that does Melika. Only thing that's called Melika is something where the Kohen himself, with his body part, with his thumb, does the actual Melika. Absent that, there's no such thing. It's not even called Melika. She says, if you want to suggest that what the Gemara is saying over here is that Talush by Shein and Tziporen works by Shechita, doesn't work by Melika, that's not a good way to go about saying what the Gemara is saying, is because when you do something detached, it's not called Melika. So you're not comparing Shechita versus Melika, you're comparing Shechita versus something which is totally pasul, has no relevance to us at all. And also, v'ha nami leta, the second reason not to accept this is the lo parchinin behedja tanila elim kein shnuya b'mishnah. It's a very important part of the Rashi here, which is that Rashi says that the Gemara said shein v'tziporin behedja ketaniluhu. Shein and tziporin are explicit in the Mishnah. If they're explicit in the Mishnah, then the Gemara asks, we saw this already. Why are you repeating something that we know? But if there is information that's found in a braita, or even a Breita, which is a Midrash Halacha in Torah Kohanim, or any of these other places where we find that there is Tanaic information that is put together, the Gemara will never say, Behejik Tani Luhu. Gemara will never tell you that it's explicit in some Tanaic work. It will only use that language when it's found in a Mishnah. If it's in a Mishnah, it'll say, that's explicit. If that's explicit, there's no reason to repeat it in another Mishnah. Because he says, many of the Breitot repeat things that are found in the Mishnah. We find duplication all over the place. That's how the Gemara many times tries to figure out what the Mishnah is speaking about, brings a Braita that says the exact same thing with more explication. So that shows you that the Gemara is not interested in the repetition in a Braita from a Mishnah. And it would never ask you, Behejya Ketani Lehu, when it comes to reference to a Braita and not reference to a Mishnah. And so for Rashi, that's another proof to the fact that this isn't speaking about Talush, but rather about Mechubar, because Mechubar is explicit in our Mishnah. So the Talush is not something that's explicit. That was explained afterwards. That's explained in the Braitot why Talush worked versus Mechubar, which doesn't work. But for those two reasons, Rashi believes that the explanation of the Gemara over here is only by the case of Mechubar and not by the case of Talush. It's coming to say that Mechubar does not work by Shechita, but it does work by Melika. That's the point of this summary at the end of our Mishnah. Not the alternative view, which was Talush is good by Shechita, it's not good by Melika. Rashi rejects that for these two reasons. Number one, Talush by Melika is meaningless, it's not Melika. And number two is that you can't say, with regards to a Braita, that Ketani la behejo, it's something that's found explicitly. Tosfot over here points out, according to those Rishonim that explain that it's being about Talush, Rashi says, nobody says behejo Ketani la, Elen Kein Shnuya B'Mishnah, V'Nira De Lo Kasha, says that's not necessarily true, because it may not be found here in a Mishnah in Hulin, but there is a Mishnah in Zvachim that tells us that malach v'sakim is mitamei bigadim abet abliya. If you do malika with a sakin, then the bird is considered to be a nevela and not a trefa, which shows you that it's a failing malika. You did absolutely nothing, because malika is mitaher, something for nevela, just like shchita is mitaher animals from the din of nevela. And so if you had some sort of malika that failed, there would be no tumah, even though it would not be kasher to put on the mizbeach. The fact that the Mishnah in Zvachim tells you when you do with a knife malika that it fails so badly that it's a nevela, that shows you that it completely fails. And so he says we do have a Mishnah in Zvachim that does say it explicitly, and therefore when the Gemara here says Ketani La Behedja, it could be referencing to the Mishnah in Zvachim, not to the Mishnah over here. The Tosfot rejects that reasoning of Rashi, not the underlying principle that he lays out. He's just pointing out that there is a Mishnah that tells you that information, and that could have been the question. But he says, Mew, the second question that he brought, that the Mishnah should have just said Talush generically versus Shein and Tziporin, he says that makes sense, and therefore we would reject it for that reason, that it should have mentioned something more generic rather than Shein and Tziporin. Shein and Tziporin are just examples. You could have just said Talush generically. But then he says something which I wouldn't have read into Rashi, but he does. He says, Vim Tomar, Kudu Perushov, the Ari Bimichubarim. According to Rashi, who says that the story here is Mechubar, Heyach Shein Sheira Bimlika. How is it possible that a tooth is Kasher Bimlika? Rashi says that the Gemara is by Mechubar. Mechubar does not work by Shechita. It does work by Melika. The way I would have read that is, that when it comes to the nail, then Mechubar doesn't work by Shechita. It does work by Melika. Shein got thrown in along with it. It becomes Shein by Melika is not even a relevant factor here at all. So then, forget about Shein. It just was tied along because the two come as a package together. Tosafot says, Heich Shein Sheira B'Melika. How is it possible that a tooth could be done for Melika? It says, Habai Yamin. You have to do it with your right hand. If you do Melika with your left hand, it fails. If you do it with your left hand, it fails. And certainly if you do it with your tooth, that's not going to work. Tosafot says, Yesh Lamar, Lo Nakat Shein, Shein Shein Sheira B'Melika. That's the way that I would have thought Rashi read it. It's just not about. Then he brings back, but Od Yesh Lamar, the small Gora Mishein. The left hand is worse than the tooth. In that if you're going to use your hand, then you have to use the right hand. The left hand is a failing operation in Malika. But if you use a tooth, which doesn't have to do with hands, there it might work. And Tosfot speculates that there is a possibility of doing Malika with a Shein. Here you can see in the Sichat Chulin, he drew a version of Malika with your tooth, because it has to be Mechubar. Not sure anybody would want to do it that way, but he does show the possibility of doing Malika with a Shein. And Tosfot entertains at least the possibility that that would work and be kasher lemelika de mechubar. Right? That's just to deal with what we exactly were speaking about when the Gemara mentions Shein and Tziporin. The Gemara says lemelute Shein v'Tziporin came to exclude Shein v'Tziporin. We're going to go with Rashi's view that it's dealing with mechubar, those that are attached, meaning that when it comes to shchita attached to psula by the melika, it is ksheira. And in all of these instances in the suggestions, Rashi points out that you have to say otu, which is that there are two pieces to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that whatever is good by Shechita is no good by Malika, and then vice versa. Whatever is good by Malika is no good by Shechita. So here you have a case where we're only dealing with one of those two parts of what the Mishnah says. We're only dealing with what is kasher by Malika is pasul by Shechita. The other part of the Mishnah, which gave you the other opposite side, which is kasher by Shechita, pasul by Malika, is not addressed. So you have to say that's otu. Since they brought you the case where it was Pasul b'shchita and Kasher b'melika, it gave you the opposite scenario, even though that doesn't add any information in the Mishnah. And similarly, by the Ute Chazarat Simanim before, that's Kasher b'shchita and Pasul b'melika. So then again, because we wrote that about the Reisha, then it included the Seifa as well, even though it doesn't add any information, and telling us that Kasher b'melika is Pasul b'shchita.
Mari says, Shein b'tziporin b'hedja k'tani luhu. So the Vi Rashi, that means that in the Mishnah before, it said to us, Shein and Tziporin don't work by Shechita. And we set up the Mishnah as a case of Mechubar. So Elam Rav Yirmiya Limute Molech Umevi. Comes to exclude a case of moving back and forth. Back and forth, that's exactly the way you're supposed to do Shechita, is move the knife back and forth. That's exactly the point. By Shechita, that is a Shechita Kshera, is to move the knife back and forth. But by Malika, it would be Pasul to move it back and forth. You have to use what's called Darsa. You actually have to use pressure. Something that would fail by Shechita and be absorbed by Shechita is exactly how you do the Melika. So the Gemara says, Anicha the mandamar molichem evi by Melika pasul. That works well according to the one who believes that molichem evi by Melika actually is a problem in the Melika. Ela mandamar kasher. According to the one who says that it's fine
Ma'ika the Maymar. Then what are you going to say over here? The Gemara answers, B'nei Rabbi Chiya Savri, La'akemand Omar, Molechim Ebi, Malika Pasul. B'nei Rabbi Chiya, we're going to hold like that Shita that says that when you're Malik, Ebi, Malika Pasul, and therefore the way you would read the Mishnah is that which is Kasher by Shchita, which means Malik, Ebi, is Pasul by Malika, and then the second part of the statement is also going to be Atu. The fact that afterwards it says, Kasher b'melika, pasul b'shchita, doesn't tell us any additional information, just the reverse of the first statement that was made over here. Amar Rav Kahana, mitzvat melika, kotsets, v'yored, v'zohi mitzvata. So Rav Kahana makes a statement, obviously in context of what we're saying over here, the Gemara is bringing this, that when a person does the melika, he's kotsets v'yored. It seems to be that he cuts through, and he puts pressure, he continues to move through, which would mean that he's not doing molich umevi, but simply doing darsa. He's putting the pressure to cut through the neck. Savar Rabbi Avin lemeimar, kotzeitz v'yored in, molich umevi lo. So Rabbi Avin, in explaining this statement of Rav Kahana, sees that as an exclusive view as to what you can do. You can only do it through kotzeitz v'yored. You may not do it be molich umevi. Amalei Rabbi Yirmiya, koshukain de molich umevi, be molika kasher. So Rabbi Yirmiya says, no, maybe the statement is that also this works. Not only does Malichu maybe work, also the Ksitza, Kotzeitz V'yored works. My Zohi Mitzvata. What does it mean? This is the way to do the Mitzvah. Ema Avzohi Mitzvata. This is also the way you can do the Mitzvah. Meaning that Malichu maybe is not absolutely necessary by Malika, but it works by Malika. Why did Rabbi Yirmiya mention about Kotzeitz V'yored? It's telling you that that's also an option by Malika. You can do it through Ksitza V'yirida. Rashi makes a point over here, which I think is interesting, which is that why does he say koshukain? Why should it certainly work by melika? So Rashi notes that whatever works by shchita, we would assume works by melika, unless the Torah explicitly states otherwise, which is that melika is a chiddush. There's nothing that would have assumed that that type of action should work, and it should make it into a kosher animal. So whatever the Torah explicitly tells us with regards to melika, then we'll say, okay, it works. Because the Torah told us it works. It's Gzeirat HaKetuv. But absent that information, we would assume that the way that you do it by Shechita should definitely work by Melika. And that's what Rabbi Yirmiya is saying. The Koshukain is over here. That if you say that pushing through works, then Koshukain Melika maybe works. Because that works by Shechita. It certainly should work by Melika. Because the Torah never precludes you from doing Melik Umevi. If it explicitly told you you can't do Melik Umevi, fine. But if it doesn't do that, we can assume that anything that's true by Shechita is also true by Melika. We note that's what the Gemara was trying to undermine in Bnei Rabbi Chiya. Think about Bnei Rabbi Chiya said the same thing. Bnei Rabbi Chiya say, oh, you can also move the Simanim around. The Torah doesn't tell you you have to move the Simanim around, but the reason it's kosher is because Shechita uses cut that Simanim before you cut the Mifareket. So even though the Torah says you can go straight through the back, we're not going to say that doing Derech Shechita is a problem, unless the Torah tells you you have to do it with the Yad HaKohen. So then Sakin is knocked out. The ability to do it with a knife is knocked out. You would assume that a knife is good to do Melika. The Torah comes specifically and says you have to use the hand of the Kohen. So once you've done that, you've precluded the ability to use any other utensil or instrument. But in instances where the Torah doesn't give you a specific instruction, it just tells you you could do it this way, then we're going to assume that doing it the way the Shechita does it is also an option that's available to you. So as Rashi says, Chokama d'lo memayit b'kra b'hedja, ki b'mayit b'sakin v'tzavar, where there it's taken, it says mul oref. And it says it has to be with the Yad HaKohen. Ki avid malika b'shchita tfeyadiv. If you do malika the way that you would do shchita, it would make more sense. It would be totally acceptable. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yirmi Amar Shmuel. Kol hekshir b'shchita kignegdo b'oref kasher b'malika. Whatever is kasher in the terms of location of shchita, then on the opposing side, on the oref, that works by malika. Ha, you would have concluded from this, pasul b'shchita, that which doesn't work b'shchita, Pasul b'melika, doesn't work by melika. Now Rashi makes a comment here about Shmuel's statement. He says, Shmuel la behilchot shchita ayri. Shmuel's not dealing with the halachot of shchita. El Shmuel behekshir makom shchita kam ayri. He's not speaking about shchita versus melika, because then he'd be in direct contradiction with our Mishnah, where he's giving us information that otherwise we already know. There's nothing new or no chiddush in his statement. And a statement just, as Rashi points out, isn't true vis-a-vis what our Mishnah indicated that was just the opposite. There are many things that work by Shechita, don't work by Melika, and vice versa. So Rashi's making the point that Shmuel's not addressing our Mishnah. It's like an independent statement, which is about location. Where on the animal is the proper appropriate place to perform Shechita, versus the appropriate place to perform milika. That's what Shmuel's adding over here, and what Shmuel is saying is the location of shchita, wherever that's true on the front of the animal, is the kosher location on the reverse side of the animal for milika. And then the derivative of that would be, if it was pasul for shchita, the location, then it'd also be pasul for the milika on the other sin. And as Rashi rightly points out over here, that's really the chiddush in the statement, because the fact that we know where the makom mashchita is and the makom ha-milika is very explicit in the Torah and the Mishnayot. And now the only thing that's important is the diuk, that whatever is pasul in one is pasul in the other. That's the main chiddush that must be coming out of here. And that's what the Gemara is searching for. What is the chiddush in that statement? The mutemai. What is he coming to exclude? What is the information that he's giving to us coming to add for us? It seems obvious, meaning that the requirement of milika is mul ha'orif, which is, we already discussed, orif means the back of the head, the mul ha'orif means the nape of the neck. So the nape of the neck is exactly opposite the tzavar, the throat. So if that's where shchita is, and that's where milika is, that's pretty straightforward information. So ilema lima'utze ikur simanim. Maybe it's coming to exclude the possibility of doing ikur simanim. V'ha'tani rami bar yecheskel. Ain ikur simanim ba'of. There is no problem of ikur simanim by of, and therefore that can't be the issue that we're discussing. Because again, malika is done on an of. So if it's coming to tell you that ikur simanim is not an available option to you, then why does Rami bar Yechezkel say about birds, ain ikur simanim ba'of? If that's the case, then it's not relevant by of. It's not a problem by malika. You might have said that what is pasul by shchita means ikur simanim, would also be pasul by melika, which would be ikur simanim. The Gemara rejects that because of Rami bar Yechezkel, which is en ikur simanim both. That's not a relevant pasul by both. Amar Rav Papa lim ute rusho. It's coming to exclude his head. Rusho pshitale. What do you mean to exclude the head? I mean, head would be the back of the head here. That's not good for melika. So he says that's pshita. It says mimul arpo. That's exactly what we discussed yesterday after the Mishnah. That mibolapora marachmana velobrosho. Says you gotta do it in the nape of the neck, not the back of the head. My rosho. What is rosho means? Shipui rosho. It means the slant of the head. If you think about the skull, if you move along the head, your head peaks somewhere in the back and then begins to slope down towards the neck. So that area, that place of the shipui rosh is a place that you could have started out the melika to go. The nakat mi shipui rosh. Mehigrim. He started out over there, which is not the correct location. That's not the correct location because you're above the neck when you start over there. But Higrim. Then he moved into the right location. And then he got down below in the area of the neck. Uki de Rav Huna Maravasi. De Rav Huna Maravasi. Higrim Shlish. Shachat Shnei Shlish. Psula. That if you were outside the area for the first Shlish, and then you moved inside for the next two Shlish, that's psula. This is Rav Huna Amar Rav Asi. If you remember from yesterday, that's the first series of Rav Huna Amar Rav Asi, not Rav Huna Amar Rav, where we did one third, one third, one third. This is the first series where we said that if you were Higrim Shlish, you were outside for the first third, and then you moved in for the remaining two thirds, that is psula. So too over here. By the Malika, the same thing would be true. If you start from the Shipoy Arosh, which is close enough to the neck that you could actually move the Shkita back into the area of the neck, if you did one third outside, then move the two thirds in, it would also be psula. So that's what it's coming to teach you. That just like by shchita, it is psula, so too by melika, it's also going to be psula. All right. I guess point out something for a second. This Tosafot over here on Daf Chof is a central Tosafot that we actually mentioned earlier in the introduction to the Masechta, as well as on Daf Tet, as to what the problem of ikur simanim is. Machloket and Rishonim, Rashi and Tosafot, as to what the meaning of ikur simanim is in the five trefot that are mentioned back on Daf Tet. So Rashi back on Daf Tet says that the ikur simanim was based on the Mishnah that we find later on in the Masechta on Daf Lamed Bet Amud Aleph that says Shachat the vessel pasak hagrugoret hari ikur. If a person shechted the esophagus and then went through or broke the trachea, that's ikur. Rashi seems to think that the problem of ikur, some sort of puncturing or problem that you created within the trachea, that wasn't a form of shchita. And Rashi says that that renders the animal a trefa, and that's why the ikur is a failure in shchita, because you made it into a trefa instead of shechting the animal. Tosfot back on Daf Tet says about Rashi's explanation. The Perush Kuntres Ikor Detnan Shachatat Abeshet Upasakat Agargoret. The Tema Dein Zeshayach Lekuchot Shvita Zepsul Mipnei Shlo Shachato. Problem here is that you punctured the trachea, and that's not anything to do with a case of Shchita. Yesh lomar da'ayri sheshachat b'sagim p'kuma o b'magal. Tosfot brings the ikur, the five things that are alocha l'mosh m'sinai. Ikur means that you used a knife that had a nick in it, and that causes chunkin, that causes the chanika, and that's what's called ikur siman. It rips the siman rather than cutting the siman, and that's the problem of ikur. And then he says, v'alachot g'dolot perish ikur sh'ne'akara siman
v'nishmat chutz l'mkomo. And it's no longer in the location where it should be.
The tema. Once again, what does that have to do with shchita? You didn't do shchita. You moved the simanim out of place. This is not a psul in shchita. It's a psul that you're not doing shchita because you moved the simanim out of place. The case where the siman was pulled out, and then he does shchita on it afterwards.
And therefore, you did do shchita, but you did shchita on the simanim when they're not in their normal location. And that's because in shchita malelet b'siman shamut anishmat chutz limkom chiburo ben bebeshet ben bekaneh. Once you have any one of the simanim out of their natural location, once it's been detached in that way, even if you shech them, that's not going to get you a kasher shchita. That's the Lach L'Mosh Misinai, that Ikur is posel v'gabei shchita. And Tosfo points out that according to the Halachot Gedolot, you have to believe that when the simanim move out of location, it's not a trade fa. And therefore when you shecht it, that's the Lach L'Mosh Misinai that disqualifies it. Rashi obviously would disagree and say that makes it into a trade fa, and that's why he doesn't accept the view of the Bala Halachot Gedolot. The Bala Halachot Gedolot doesn't accept Rashi because he says that's chonek, that's choking the animal, that's not shchita, because puncturing the trachea is not a form of shchita, a psul in shchita.
The Tosfot over here says, the perish akuntris, to be ikur simanim habi trefa, that makes it into a trefa. Amai itzrech leshmunin, hecha di ikur pasul b'shchita, pasul nami b'melika. So then what is the Gemara doing over here? Why does the Gemara have to tell you here, if it doesn't work by shchita, it also doesn't work by melika? Ma'ayin lanu haya lachshir b'melika, yotermi b'shchita. Where do you have avahavamina to say that it should work by melika, if it doesn't work by shchita? This is one of Tosafot's proofs to the fact that Rashi's explanation of ikur simanim is incorrect, and that it can't be that the ikur simanim that we're discussing over there is something that makes you into a trefa, and then over here you would say ikur simanim is something that doesn't work by shchita, doesn't work by melika. It says you wouldn't even have a havamina that works by melika. It's a trefa by shchita, and if that's the case, you wouldn't have even assumed you could do it by melika. So what's the havamina to say you would have done it by melika, that you need to exclude it? On the other hand, he says, aval divrei alachot gedolot, says with alachot gedolot, atya kula sugya shapir, says this sugya goes much better, the lavi trefa, ayidei shchitat simanim, or shmutat simanim. It doesn't become a trefa when you pull the simanim out of place. Well, hachi kamar, that's what it means over here. Ilema le mu'utei ikur simanim, keika de hilcha de gmirla de ain shchitam mo'elet sham, just like we have alachot l'mosh mishinai, that shchita doesn't help there, apo bishenu nitruach bekach. Even though it doesn't make you into a treifa, even though it doesn't make it into a treifa by doing ikur simanim, nevertheless, it is pasul.
And then that's what the chiddush of Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Amar Shmuel is, that which is pasul by shchita is also pasul by melika.
And that's what Tosfot's pointing out of here. According to the Halachot Gedolot, this Gemara flows a lot better rather than what Rashi. Rashi suggests that ikur simanim is some puncturing of the trachea that causes the problem. That's the problem here, then that's trefa right away. That's a trefa, then what are you speaking about? The havamina that melika should have been okay. According to the Bala Halachot Gedolot, where the ikur simanim just means pull them out of place, and then you do shchita after the fact, then in that situation, it makes sense to suggest that it could have been okay. The animal's not a trefa just because you moved the simanim and then they're doing shchita. Why should that make it a trefa? That's the chiddush, that doesn't work. And since that doesn't work by shchita, it also doesn't work by melika, because it's not that it makes you into a trefa. If it was a trefa, then there's nothing to speak about. But if it doesn't make you into a trefa, and it's still problematic, then there's something to learn. And say by shchita it doesn't work, so too by melika it doesn't work, even though the animal's not a trefa. That would be the chiddush. But this tells what is important in the understanding of what ikur is in the five halachot of Moshe Mitzrayim. Alright, so now the Gemara continues and says, Amar le Rav Acha Brei de Rova de Rav Ashi, Hadetani Rami Bar Chezkel, any course of manim ba'of, lo amran, elan mandamar, ain shchita la'of min haTorah. The one who says that any course of manim ba'of is following the position that there is no din of shchita la'of min haTorah. Min haTorah, the only thing it says is v'zavachta v'achalta, that we learn out from the parshiyah in Dvarim Yud Bet, the requirement for shchita, which is halacha l'mosh Misinai. Over there it says, it only mentions animals. It mentions behemoth. It doesn't mention oaf at all. The question is, does it have application by oaf? So there is a man da'amar, we'll say it later on, that ain't shkita la'oaf min ha'Torah. Oaf doesn't require shkita min ha'Torah. It's only a din dirabonon. And even though, as Tosfot points out, there is no shkita min ha'Torah, you can still have a nevela by an oaf tahor, by either having the oaf die naturally, or if you kill the oaf in a manner that doesn't go through the simanim, meaning that even nechira or akira that might be allowed in these instances involves cutting the simanim. But if you were to cut it or kill it in any other way besides the simanim, that would deem it a nevela. And so even according to one who says, ein shkita la'oaf min ha'Torah, there still is a manifestation of nevela tof tahor min ha'Torah.
So what he suggests is that Rami Bar Yechezkel's position that any kumar simanim ba'oaf is hand in hand with the fact that you believe that ein shkita la'oaf min ha'Torah. So since there really isn't shkita, and ikur does not make it into a treifa, so I put those two together and I say, okay, the fact that he believes any kumar simanim ba'oaf is connected to the fact that he believes that there's no shkita min ha'oaf min ha'Torah. Ella, about the man da'amar, yesh shkita la'oaf min ha'Torah, according to the one who says that there is shkita la'oaf min ha'Torah, yesh ikur simanim. He would also believe that there is ikur simanim. Why should it be any different than the din of a b'nehima? That's the halacha of Moshe Mitzinai. The halacha of Moshe Mitzinai is shkita ba'oaf, just like the shkita ba'ima. If that's the case, then the dinim of shkita be'imah, which is ikur simanim, is problematic, should also have application by the oaf, and it should also make it pasul. Amalei, adarabo, he says, I think, ipcha mistabra, just the opposite makes sense. This is Ravashi's position. Amadamar yesh shkita la'oaf min ha'Torah, eika l'meimar da'achi agmere, that ain't ikur. He says, it makes sense that according to one who says there is shkita la'oaf min ha'Torah, just like that is a halacha of the Moshe Mitzinai, that there is shkita min ha'oaf min ha'Torah, you got the same halacha of the Moshe Mitzinai telling you that there's no ikur. I mean, this is all the Mesorah that you have by the bird.
Even according to the one who learns out the need for shkita by an oaf from a hekesh between behema and oaf, that would seem to imply that you would have to have ikur be a problem because you're learning it from behema. Nevertheless, the same way the hekesh is a din halacha of the Moshe Mitzinai, so too the issue of ikur is Allah the Moshe Mitzinai, and therefore
the ikur lo havik behema.
The ikur will not be like that of a behema.
And even though it's just like a behema, meaning that the reason that you include oaf is because it's subsumed in the world of behema, that's an ikur likur lo havik behema. By ikur, that's not the way the Allah the Moshe Mitzinai was given. If it's all a mesorah anyway, then the mesorah can dictate whatever the details of the mesorah are, which means that just like oaf parallels behema here. Because the halacha of Moshe Mitzinai says that it includes oaf and not just behema, so too the halacha of Moshe Mitzinai can say ikur simanim is a problem by behema, is not a problem by oaf. You can have mesorah. Elaman damar ein shkita la'oaf min ha'Torah, ela medivrei sofrim. If you believe that there is no din of shkita min ha'Torah for oaf, but the only thing is that you have a din midirabanan with regards to oaf, mehecha gemirila. How do you know that oaf should have any shkita? Mibehema. The only reason you would do it is because behema requires shkita. So therefore, midrabanan, we require shkita by oaf. Kula milta ki behema. Then you should have to learn everything like behema. For in essence, what it is called the tikkun rabbanon, kein d'oraita tikkun. The rabbanon are going to put a position in place that mirrors something that is true min ha'Torah. They're going to mirror it exactly. The only reason that we have shkita by oaf is because the rabbanon said it's too close to behema. We want it to be done the same way that behema is done. Once you do that, it's got to match whatever behema is across the board. Where would you have a reason to separate between ikur of the oaf and ikur by the behema? There's no precedent for that. If you're going to mirror or you're going to parallel the behema, then oaf should have all the same dinim. If you're speaking about halacha Moshe Mitzinai, halacha Moshe Mitzinai is open to any differences or nuances in halacha. Halacha Moshe Mitzinai says oaf needs shchita. Ikur doesn't matter by it. Yes, it's paralleled after behema, but nevertheless, the Torah has a mesora with regards to birds that ikur doesn't work. So Ravashi thinks that the logic that was dictated by Ravacha Breid Rabba said to Ravashi, that logic that he dictated, Ravashi thinks that the logic is just the opposite. Then Amar Ravina, Amar Li Ravin Barkisi, Hadatani Rami Rechezkel, any ikur simanim ba'of, lo omran elo b'mlika, avo b'shchita, yesh ikur. Now we have a new view as to what the limitation on Rami Bar Yechezkel's statement is. The first limitation was to say that his position is only relevant by one man da'amar. So we had Rav Acher Baba suggesting it's only relevant according to one who says that ain't shkita la'oaf min ha'Torah. According to Ravashi, he suggests that it's only relevant according to the one who says that yesh shkita la'oaf min ha'Torah. That din is applicable. Whether that means you can't prove either way
and therefore maybe this isn't a qualification. But nevertheless, they were narrowing the scope of Rami Bar Cheskel to one of those two opinions. Depends who you believe was one of those two opinions. Now we have another narrowing of the scope of Rami Bar Cheskel, which is when he says any kusim minim ba'of, that's only by the din of melika. It's not by the din of shkita. By shkita, just like shkita be'ima has ikur, so too does the oath have ikur. But melika that has other dispensations that are not like shkita, for instance, you can do drisa and you do chalada, which are both inherently involved in the process of melika. So just like those are waived, so too ikur is waived in the case of melika ta'of. Ba'ama Rabbi Yirmiya Amar Shmuel, kol hakasher b'shkita, k'neged ba'orif, kasher b'melika. This is the statement of Shmuel that we just had before, Rabbi Yirmiya, the name of Shmuel. That which is kasher b'shkita in the orif would be kasher b'melika. Half pasol, pasol. And we inferred from that that if the opposite was true, if it was pasul by shkita, it would also be pasul by melika. So now, if you're telling me that over here by shkita ta'of, ikur simanim would be problematic, but then by melika, it wouldn't be problematic, this no longer stands. Because now you're saying to me, if you did ikur simanim by shkita pasul, you go to ikur simanim on the opposite side of the neck with the melika kasher, then that parallel that Rabbi Yirmiya drew up is no longer relevant, because you're saying something is pasul by shkita, kasher b'melika. You've broken the connection between the two, which says that whatever is kasher here is also kasher there. Whatever is pasul here is pasul there. That's no longer true. It's very interesting over here. As Rashi said before, Rabbi Yirmiya and Rabbi Shmuel had nothing to do with the dinim of shkita. It only had to do with the makom of shkita. Over here, you see them invoking it even in an area of a din of shkita. This is a din of shkita that we're discussing over here, which is whether ikur has application or doesn't have application. Interesting that Rashi doesn't comment on that, but the fact is that the Gemara has now changed what it thinks Rabbi Yirmiya Amar Shmuel is addressing. You could say that it's also addressing the din of shkita itself. Just had it only addressed the din of shkita, then it would have been a repetition of our Mishnah and it wouldn't be necessary. You need something else that he's adding beyond that, and that's makom shkita, so I think that's what you'd have to say. Or it really would be supportive of the Bahag's view that the problem of ikur simanim really relates to this simanim being out of place and shefted in that out of place location. So again, it's really about placement, and therefore this would be consistent with what Rashi says before. And from the Rashi and the Peirush here, it almost sounds like that it's speaking about the improperness of the location based on the fact that you have akirat simanim over here, which would actually be supportive of the Ritva's view that Rashi actually changed his mind in the sugya and is explaining it like the Bahag, not like his Peirush back on Daf Tet. Now, hahu pliga, where it says, that is a machloket. That statement of Rabbi Yirmiya Shmuel disagrees with this statement of Rabin Bar Kisi. So Rabin Bar Kisi saying that Rami Bar Yecheskel says that any ikur simanim ba'of is only true by melika, by shkita, there is ikur simanim ba'of. And now you have Rabbi Yirmiya Shmuel saying if it's true by melika, it's got to be true by shkita, or vice versa. That means that they believe any ikur simanim applies across the board, both by shkita and by melika. There's no din of ikur simanim by oaf. And Rashi points out, Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel is a breita. So how is it that Rabbi Yirmiya Amar Shmuel is arguing on a breita because he's an Amora? How is an Amora arguing on a breita? Rashi says that there is an additional breita later on Daf Chof Chet that also supports this view of Rabbi Yirmiya Amar Shmuel. Therefore, you have both of them with a breita backing up their position. Now you have a machloket Amoraim. And since we have a safek in halacha, and Rashi, in addressing that, says, "V'kevin into lo ifsek hilchatak, kaimelan b'shel Torah, aleich achar ha-machmir." And so over here, we don't know which one is right. Is there any ikur simanim or yesh ikur simanim? We're going after the machmir. It's a safek in halacha. You have to go like the machmir. The machmir over here is Rabin Bar Kisi, who says that there is ikur simanim by shkita ta'of. And therefore, there will be a problem by ikur simanim of an oath, because we're going to go the hachmir. Amar Ziri, Nishpira mefareket, Rova basari ma nivela. In an instance where you have a bird that has the neck spinal cord is broken, that's the mefareket, and Rova basari ma, and the majority of the flesh that's around there is also cut, the bird is a nivela. We know, again, the difference between nivela and trefa is the fact that a trefa says there was a shchita, but something went wrong during the shchita, so now you have a trefa. It's good enough to get rid of the problem of tumat nivela, not to say the animal died by itself, or didn't die in the process of doing the process of shchita, and that makes it into a nivela and has tumat nivela. If the shchita is successful, but there's a psul in the shchita itself, that makes it into a trefa, which means it's not allowed to be eaten, but it doesn't have tumat nevela. Or if the shechita was completely fine, but there was something else that made it into a treifa, that would again be something that does not have tumat nevela. So the statement here of Ze'iri saying that when you break the spinal cord and cut the rova basar, that that is a nevela, it's saying that it was completely unsuccessful. It is not even considered to be a melika. So Amar Rav Chista, Afanan Nami Tanina, that we have the same thing is proved by the Mishnah in Zvachim, which is Malak Besachin, Metamei Begadim, Abeit Abliyah. If someone does melika with a knife, then you're Metamei Begadim, Abeit Abliyah. This has to do with what's called Tumat Nevela of Uf Tahor. Normally, Tumat Nevela applies to an animal that dies. An animal dies, the carcass has a din of Tumat Nevela. If you maga, you come into contact with the Nevela, you are Tameh. Masa, you carry the Nevela, you also have a din of Tumah. But if you eat the Nevela, then you don't have any din of Tumah. Elohim Cain, you did some sort of maga or masa to have that to eat it. So if someone puts it into your mouth, back of your throat, and you swallow it without any maga or masa, and internally it's called maga beta starim, you would not be Tameh Tumat Nevela. That's your classic case of Tumat Nevela. Of Tahor, and Rashi brings all the limudim over here from, we've learned them together in Zvachim, we're going to do a little more here in Chulin as well, but Of Tahor has a different din. And that is Of Tahor that dies doesn't have Tumat Nevela. You touch it, no Tumat Nevela. You carry it, no Tumat Nevela. The only Tumat Nevela that an Of Tahor has is you swallow it. So it's called Abeta Bli'ah. That once you swallow it and take it down, that generates a din of Tumat Nevela. Again, it's all learnt out of the Sukkim over here. So what he's saying over here is that there's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if you malak besakin, you did malika with a knife, then your mitameh begadim abeit abliyah. Then that resultant bird is not a trefa, but rather is a nevela. That nevela means that if you swallow it, you will become tameh tumat nevela. V'yamar trefa havya malikata zohi shchitata. If you believe that cutting through the back of the neck, breaking the spinal cord, and cutting through the rova basar was only resulted in a trefa, not a nevela, then malika has the same din as shchita. Remember what we said before, if you do a good shchita, but there's some psul in the shchita, or you do a shchita, and then you find the animal to be a trefa, over there, the animal does not have tumat nevela. So similarly, if you believe breaking the back of the neck, and then going through the rova basar was something that made it into a trefa, then the malika should have at least been successful, like shchita, to take away the tumat nevela and just leave it as a treifa. And even though you're using a knife, which doesn't work by malika, nevertheless, just call it a shchita. Tahani lasakin letara midei nevela. In the end, if you only make it a treifa by going through the mafreket and the rova basar, then when you're cutting the simanim, just make it or call it a shchita of an animal that's a treifa, and that should be enough to be mitaheret midei nevela. It should at least be that the sakin over here that's doing the malika should at least do something to get it past the point of tumat nevela. Amrei hatam mishum delav shchita hikla. Very easy answer to the problem. The assumption in what Rav Chista is saying is that the malika with a knife is the same thing as malika with your thumb. You just did it a little wrong. You did it with a knife, which isn't allowed, instead of doing it with your thumb. So that was the failure in the shchita, but otherwise it's considered to be equivalent to a shchita. That means when you do malika on a treifa, you're metahir midei nevela. He says your whole assumption is incorrect. Doing a malika with a knife is not called malika, nor is it called a shchita. And therefore you have neither malika nor shchita. And then what is being metaheret midei nevela over here? And so even if it is only a treifa and not a nevela, it still wouldn't be metaheret midei nevela. And therefore your whole premise to bring a proof from that is incorrect. My time, Gemara wants to know, what's the reason that when you come from behind, and assuming that it's not made into a nevela, when you go through the mafreket and the rova basar, it's only a treifa, why is it that the shchita fails when you come from behind versus when you come from the tzavar, from the front? And so the Gemara proposes two possibilities. One is, Ravuna mar mipnei shu machlit. The problem is that you have hachlada. Hachlada, that you inserted a knife. You didn't cut through straight, back and forth, through the shchita. We have what's called a shchita mifurat that we discussed before, an open shchita where you can see the knife. Rather, you insert the knife in between the basar and the simanim, and then you began to cut. That's called hachlada. Or even if you came from behind the simanim and you went in there and you cut. Rav Amar mipeshu dores. That is because you're putting pressure on it, because you're not going to do malikhu mevi, because malika involves a kotzeitz viorid. that you're pressing it down. So the problem over here you have is that when you come from behind, you have to have a problem of dores, because the way that you do malika is not back and forth action, it's a pressing action, and that's a failure. Or the problem is that you have hachlada in this case. Now the Gemara says, according to Rav Huna, says the problem is hachlada, my time alomar b'neshu dores. Why doesn't he say the problem here is drisa? Kasavar molich umevi b'malika kasher. He holds like the mandamar that when you go back and forth with a malika, that works. So if that works, then you don't have to have a case where you're doing it with the knife and pressing down. You can have a knife and you're going back and forth. So that can't be the failure in this shchita over here. According to Rava, who says the problem here is dores, why didn't he say like Rav Huna that it is a problem machlid? What is the din of halada? It's kechuda hadara b'ikarei batim. That it's like a weasel that lives under the house or under the foundations of the house. The mikasio. That it is covered up. Similarly, by the knife, that's the same thing. The problem of halada is that the knife is concealed from the shkita, and that's the problem.
Hocha ha migalio.
But
in this instance, it is exposed.
Over here, when you cut, even though the spinal column, when you break it, doesn't separate and doesn't give you a clear visibility, it's not that the knife is not visible. You won't have such clear visibility. You still have the ability to see the knife. It says, Minhu asakin nireh imugule kozman chati chato. As long as you're cutting, you can really still see the knife. Even though the spinal column doesn't break apart or separate, you still can see the knife. And as long as you have visibility on the knife the whole way, that's not called the problem of hachlada. Hachlada is when the knife disappears, meaning that it's inserted somewhere where you can't see the knife at all. And all of a sudden you start cutting, and now the knife becomes visible again because you cut through the simanim. That's something where it's called hachlada. This does not qualify as hachlada.
And obviously, Rav Huna disagrees and says that the fact that the spinal column doesn't break apart clearly makes it the equivalent of hachlada over here, because you can't really get clear visibility of the knife. It is covered over by the parts. It doesn't split apart like a normal shchita would on the side of the tzavar. Balei HaTosfot here criticized Rashi's explanation of why it's considered to be machlid according to Rav Huna, because Rashi's explanation only seems to work when you're speaking about a short knife that is totally embedded inside of the shchita. But something that's a longer knife would be visible even if you say that the mafreket is covering over the knife. And therefore, the Balei HaTosfot offer an alternative view, which is, it's considered here a chalada just because of the mere fact that you're doing it backward. Normal shkita would start from the front and touch the simanim first. Over here, you're going back through the mafreket and then through the simanim, and doing it mimata lamalo, hafilu b'sakin rechava, even with a wide knife, is classified as chalada. He does quote Rashi's explanation for chalada in the Gemara in Zvachim, and says, since over here you're trying to get into a narrow space and not cut rova basar, you're going to use the point of the knife and enter in and do chalada. Balei HaTosfot reject that over here because the Gemara only in the end comes to that conclusion, but in the early stages calls it chalada even when you're cutting rova basar. So in response to Ziri's statement, we first of all try to bring a proof from the Mishnah. We said that's not a proof. And then we said, what's the reason that's considered to be an Avela when you do Melika with a knife? We had Rav Huna and Rava's answer. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rava, I kashali, ha kashali. If there's a problem over here, this is the problem that I would raise. Chei meita, omeid, umalik. Ziri's statement over here that Nishbara Mefereket Rova Sarima is a Nevela, if I had a question on Ziri's statement, I would have said, I don't know how you do Melika. Because once you've gone through the Mefereket and the Rova Basar, the animal's a Nevela. Nevela means it's dead. That's the definition of a Nevela. You have a carcass of an animal. You have a dead animal. Now, a dead animal doesn't literally have to have nothing moving. It could be moving around. It could still be flipping around. But once you've crossed over that threshold, it's dead and it has too much Nevela, even if it's still moving. So it's over here. If you go through the Mefereket and the Rova Basar, you've generated a Nevela. Then Umolek, then what are you doing after that point? The Malika is cutting through the simanim. You're cutting through the simanim of a dead animal, of a dead bird. Why does that work? That's my problem with Ziri. Ziri tells you that the animal's dead before you ever do Malika. Why don't you ask that question with regards to Olatov? Why are you bothering Ziri? Why don't you go to the Ikar Alach of Olatov? The Bayishne Simanim. One of the requirements of Olatov is they have to cut through both simanim of the oath. B'chi meita omeidu malik. Why don't you say the same thing with regards to Olat Oath? We know, and we're going to see that later on in the Mishnayot, that when it comes to Behemah, you have a requirement to cut both Simanim in order for the animal to be deemed Shachut,
On the other hand, by a bird, a smaller animal, if you cut one of the two simanim, that is sufficient to be shchitak sheira, or to deem it to be dead. It only needs one siman. Now, by olot ha'of, where you require two simanim, once you've already gone through the first siman, what are you doing when you're cutting the second siman? The malika of the second siman is a dead bird already. Why does that have any efficacy?
Just as a note, many point out that Rashi's assumption here that when you go through one siman, the animal is deemed to be as if it's dead, is not necessarily true, as we'll see from the Gemara later on. And therefore, they explain that Rashi is saying that one siman makes it a dead bird in combination with the breaking of the mafreken and the cutting of the rova basar. The combination of all of those make it the equivalent of a dead bird. And then when you go to cut the second siman, it's not meaningful.
Samalei, hatam the kayim ba mitzvat habdala. That's a separate issue. Olat ha'ov has two requirements. It has one requirement that you actually do melika. The second requirement is that you mavdil, you separate the head from the body of the bird. Now that can only be accomplished if you actually go through the second siman. So the necessity for the second siman is not part of melika. It is part of the havdalah that you need to do for the bird. Iachi or namis. Why don't you say the same thing by the skin? Why don't we say that when it comes to the cutting of the havdalah of the head, not only you have to cut through the two simanim, you have to cut through all the basar in order to have havdalah. Why isn't that mentioned? He says, kol ha-me'akev b'shchita, me'akev b'havdalah. That anything that's me'akev shchita is also me'akev havdalah. B'chol she'enu me'akev shchita, enu me'akev b'havdalah. That anything that is me'akev, that stops the shchita, is something that would then be required to be separated or severed for the olat ha'ov. Anything that's not ma'akev shchita is not something that is required to be separated or cut as part of the melika. So basar, there's no requirement during the shchita to cut the basar. The requirement during shchita is to cut the simanim. So that's the requirement here. To do havdalah, you need to cut through both simanim, but you do not have to cut through the or, because that's not ma'akev shchita. He says, wait a minute. Va miut simanim rabanan delo ma'akev shchita. Wait a minute. When it comes to shkita, we say that rubo kikulo, that you, for a bird, you have to shecht rov echad ba'of, the rove of one siman, and by behema, you have to shecht rove of two simanim, by the behema. So now, if you're going to tell me the miut that's left over, that's not ma'akev shkita, yet by havdalah, we force you to cut through two simanim completely. You have to sever the simanim completely. There's something that's not ma'akev by shkita, and yet it is. So your distinction is not correct. Ela'ema, what you have to say is, koshe yeshno b'shchita, yeshno b'havdala. Anything that is relevant in the world of shchita is relevant in the world of havdala. Simanim are an area that you cut in shchita. How much you cut, that's a separate din in shchita, whether rubo kukulo we say, or we don't say rubo kukulo. But the simanim themselves are relevant. They're a relevant part of the shchita. Therefore, by havdala, you need to sever them. The other hand, koshe eno b'shchita, basar, which is not a requirement of the shchita, there ain't no havdalah. You don't have to cut it at all when it comes to the havdalah. So that'll give you the distinction between them. Mikol makom, kasha. Rava now just dismissed Abaye's question on him from olat ha'ov. We dealt with olat ha'ov. Olat ha'ov is a separate din of havdalah. That's why you have to cut the simanim, even though it's already dead. But what are you going to do with the problem of melika in general? The bird is dead at the point that you're doing the melika. Once you get to the simanim, it's already dead according to Ze'iri. So Amar Rava, Ema. This is what you have to say. V'chein hu oseh choteich shidra u'mifareket below rov habasar. This is how you do melika, is that you cut the shidra, that's the spinal cord, and mifareket in the neck, or the spinal column, below rov habasar. Without rov habasar, if you look back at Ze'iri, Ze'iri says it's an avela when you're mifareket and rov habasar ima. You have to do the mifareket and rov habasar in order to be an avela. But if you do it with the mifareket without rov habasar, then it's not an avela. So then, when you continue to cut the simanim, that would be okay. It wouldn't be dead already, because you'd be doing melika. While it's not a nevela, it's only a trefa. And I'll address that in 1 second. He saw it, Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Zeira, when he came, Ashkechel Rabbi Ami, he found Rabbi Ami, Diyoti B'kamar Laha L'Hashmaitata. He was saying over this whole memra here about Ze'iri's statement, Amar Lei, V'chi Meita Omeidu Malek. And he posits the same question that Rava did about Ze'iri's statement. How could you do melika on something that's dead? He says, Ishtomeim kishachada. He was left silenced for a moment, and that he had to think about it. And then he responded, Amalei, Ema kachu ose. This is how you do melika. Kotech shidra umifareket. You cut through the spine and the spinal column below rova basar, without rova basar, because that makes it into a treifa and not into a vela. And Rashi goes out of his way to explain over here that's the way all shkitot work. Remember that when it comes to shkita, for instance, of a veshet, a neket, the single smallest hole in the veshet makes it into a treifa. It actually says, what's happening? You're doing shkita. You come through the trachea. Now you hit the veshet. You made a little hole in the veshet. It's a treifa already. How can you then finish off shkita and have it be a kosher animal? So Rashi says, as long as you're in the motion of doing shkita, then whatever you make as a treifa is not impactful because it's in the process of shkita. If you did shkita, if you stopped at that moment, and then there was a nekev in the veshet, and then you continued the shkita afterwards, that would be a treifa that would be impactful and ruin the shkita of the animal. Then if you continue the shkita straight through, even though you rendered it a treifa when you first cut the esophagus, you still can continue and finish the process of shkita, and that makes it into a kosher shkita. It's the same thing by melika, that'll be the difference. If you rendered it an aveva before you ever got to the simanim, it'd be dead before you did the simanim, then you're not doing anything with your melika. The other hand, if you only render it a treifa when you go through the back of the neck, and then you cut through the simanim, since you're in the process of doing the melika, that's a fine melika. As long as you don't stop, then that would be a good melika. And that's what the answer of Rava and of Rabbi Ami were suggesting, is that Ze'iri's din is a din in Nevela. We're going to cut through or do the melika in a way that it becomes a treifa, but not a Nevela. That is a break the neck, not Ova Basar. The animal's still alive. It's a treifa, yes. But since you're in the process of going through the simanim, that's a good melika, just like it would be a good shkita in the opposite direction if you were cutting with a knife. And that's how they deal with reconciling between Ze'iri and the din of melika. Okay, we're going to stop here, 7 lines down on the top of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph.